You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Quick little disclaimer, my allergies are trying to take me out, which means I sound congested. I did my best to try to get it all out, and I'm doing my best to speak in a way to where I'm not using a lot of my nasal capacity so that I don't sound too nasally, but the episode got to get done. And so I pray that you bear with me as I navigate the congestion. But happy May, you guys. May for me personally is a very blessed month. May is my favorite month of the year. It's one where the Lord has just consistently showed me a level of His sovereignty and power and grace and kindness that just always makes me emotional as we approach this fifth month of the year. I call it my month of grace. This is the month where the Lord has really shown out. This month marks 10 years of entrepreneurship for me. It marks 8 years of full-time entrepreneurship. That time in my journey where I tell you guys how the Lord had me shut down my business, May marks the month where it all just turned around and the Lord just, man, my head swam that year where the Lord just blessed my business after a year plus of me not doing anything but spending time with Him. My babies are born in the month of May. They'll be 2 and 5 this year. I don't know if I mentioned the studio, but another year of Anchor Media Studios. We closed on the property on May 2nd, 3 years ago. So the Lord is just, He really shows out in a month of May for me. And I'm not necessarily looking for Him to do anything in particular this month, but I'm just basking in gratitude, because He is just so good, so good. Let's hop into today's episode. We are kickstarting our next book club pick. This is our third book that we have read together here on this show. This book, I think, will take us probably into September, and then we'll start our last book of the year then. This book is in my top three favorite books of all time. I read this book back in 2023, and I knew that I personally needed to revisit it for this particular season in my life. And I thought that it was perfect for us to talk about it on the podcast. And it also lined up perfectly with us talking about having Holy Spirit led businesses. And we can't compartmentalize how the Holy Spirit leads us. He either leads us in our whole totality of our life or not at all. And so I thought it would be also great for us to start this as we've been talking about building a Holy Spirit led business or making Holy Spirit led decisions in our businesses. So the title of the book, if you have not gotten it yet, is called The Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley, Discovering the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I'll read the back so that you can know what it's about. It says, a wise, measured, and deeply passionate invitation to a spirit-filled life. Are you trying your best to be a good Christian but still feel something's missing? Does the peace and joy you long for seem to elude you? Can following Christ sometimes feel like a lot of work or like it's just not working very well? Much has been written about the Holy Spirit and what it means to have Him as an active part of your life. Dr. Charles Stanley cuts through the confusion and teaches the truth about the third person of the Trinity, who is as real and active as God the Father and Christ the Son. Through personal stories, biblical exploration, and insightful explanation, Dr. Charles Stanley helps you to discover who the Spirit is and how to develop a relationship with Him, who the Spirit isn't, and how to avoid damaging misconceptions, how being filled with the Spirit actually works, what the Bible really teaches about spiritual signs such as speaking in tongues, how the Spirit can increase your capacity for faith, hope, love, and personal transformation, what it means to hear the Spirit's voice, how to make the most of your unique spiritual gifting to build up Christ's body, what happens when the Spirit's power is unleashed in your workplace, your family, your friendships, and every other area of your life. Don't settle for an ordinary life that lacks power, joy, and meaning. Live the mighty and victorious Christian life that you were created to enjoy. Discover the Spirit-filled life and the great gift the Father has given you through His Holy Spirit. So if any of those things resonated with you as things that you would like to learn, that you would like to tap into, please get this book. And if you trust me, just take my word for it. I know with previous books, I've said how I'll try my best to make sure that I'm doing each episode in a way to where you get value from it, even if you're not reading a book. I'm still going to do that for this book, but I promise you, please trust me on this. This is a book that you need to get. I need you to have it in your hands, not just audiobooks, not just ebooks or the digital one. This is a book I need you to have in your hand with a highlighter, with a pen, where you can ask questions in the margin to go read and study about later. This is a book that I need you to have on hand, okay? Again, please trust me and take my word for it. Click the link in the show notes and get this book. This book is broken up into three parts. Part one is about looking up, of course, looking to the Lord. Part two is about looking within. And part three is about looking ahead. It's about 18 chapters here in the book. And on today's episode, we're going to cover everything in the beginning, the introduction, the prologue, and then chapter one. And then moving forward, on every episode, we'll do a chapter at a time as we've been doing before. He starts off the introduction by saying, "This book was originally called The Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. I didn't like the title the first time I heard it. After all, life isn't always joyful or easy, even for those who are filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul is proof of that. But the Spirit-filled life is both wonderful and worthwhile, especially compared to the alternative. I know about the alternative all too well, of trying to live for God in my own strength. I spent the early years of my Christian life struggling terribly. Call it carnal, call it fleshly, call it whatever you wish, but my life was anything but wonderful. In fact, these struggles are what motivated me to write a book about the Spirit-filled life. I've known the pain and frustration of trying to live the Christian life by my own devices. Perhaps you have as well. Maybe you've tried to please God but have found only discouragement, failure, or burnout. Friend, I understand how you feel, but I want you to know that I've also experienced the absolute joy and satisfaction of relying on the unlimited power, wisdom, and love of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, you can too. In preparing to write this book, I read everything I could get my hands on that had to do with the Holy Spirit. You will find several of these sources noted throughout the pages of this volume. Books on the Holy Spirit generally fall into two categories. They are either highly experiential, with great application but little illumination on the biblical text, or they're purely doctrinal, with little to carry you through on Monday morning when storms of life arise. This is not a criticism. These writers have accomplished exactly what they set out to do. Praise God for the motivation and insight we gain through the testimony of others. Where will we be without the men and women who labor diligently to discover how the parts fit together? The Spirit-filled life is my attempt to join experience with doctrine. This idea is nothing new. Luke did it when he wrote Acts. There we find experience of the early church supported by apostolic sermons, quotes from the Savior, and references to the Old Testament. It's a lesson in theology presented in the form of a narrative. I thought that was an excellent explanation of Acts. You will notice that some of my conclusions are slightly out of the mainstream of evangelical thought. I've done my best to support these conclusions textually without turning this book into a commentary. I'm not sure what role this book will play in your pursuit of a Spirit-filled life. I do know that many years ago, a faithful man of God wrote a book about his quest, and it turned my life upside down. After I read only a portion of his testimony, God opened my eyes to the reality of the Spirit-filled life, and I haven't been the same since. I write this with the hope that this book will do something for someone that book did for me back in 1964. If that is the case, it will have been well worth the effort. One of the reasons I advocate so hard for this book One, the intro won me over when I was first, a few years ago, deciding if I was going to read it because I appreciated his approach. I'm somebody that y'all know, if you've been listening to the show long enough, I appreciate thoughtful and intentional approaches to work, whatever it may be, strategic approaches to work, whatever it may be. And so he was very clear here about how he was writing this book and why he wanted to do it that way, mirroring it out of the book of Acts. Because the same way he said that books on the Holy Spirit are broken into two categories, I feel like conversations about the Holy Spirit are also broken into these same categories. You have these doctrinal, theological conversations about the text without discussing much about the experience for the believer. And then you have these miraculous, totally experiential type of conversations where you see a lot of the prophetic things and the miracle signs and wonders and all of the mysteries that come from the Holy Spirit, but minimal text and doctrine that's backing up those revelations. Because one of the things I feel like people take advantage of when discussing the Holy Spirit or giving credit to the Holy Spirit, I believe that not because the Holy Spirit reveals mysteries and there are some things that the Holy Spirit will only reveal to you, people then don't take the extra step to go and qualify what they heard with the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will never tell us anything that is contradictory to the Word of God. And I feel like in his introduction here, he did a great example of, I'm going to do my best to approach this topic in a way that merges the experience with the doctrine without turning this into a commentary, but using all of these different pieces to connect with the reader, as was done in the book of Acts. And so I was sold after reading the intro, because it just showed the responsibility and the care that he's taking with the subject. And for me personally, as a reader, it built some trust on the front end. When he got to the prologue, he described someone that I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs could relate to. He says, Dennis chuckled to himself as he read the bumper sticker on the car in front of him. He who dies with the most toys wins. He has seen and heard the expression plenty of times, and he always thought it was funny. But as he sat there staring at the car in front of him, the irony of his own situation began to sink in. At no point in his life had he ever consciously subscribed to the philosophy presented by that bumper sticker. On the contrary, as a Christian, he was diametrically opposed to an existence characterized by materialism. But as he thought about it, he realized that an outsider who watched him for any length of time might conclude that his ultimate pursuit in life was the accumulation of the newest and most high-tech toys. That was not to say that he didn't want to be a good father and husband, but somehow those values were not the driving force in his life anymore, not the way they were in the beginning. In fact, lately, he had noticed that several areas of his original belief system had taken a back seat to the worldly priorities he was now pursuing. What was happening? Making his way up the exit ramp, he thought back to that night on the beach as a college student. He trusted Christ as his Savior. It was so real, so significant. His decision that night affected every facet of his life. He remembered the intensity with which he communicated his newfound faith to his fraternity brothers. Church was not a duty then. It was a joy. It was something he looked forward to each week. Everything was different now. His faith hadn't changed. He still believed all the same things, but something was missing. His whole Christian experience could be summed up by, I'm doing the best I can. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. is designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. iExcel works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use iExcel consistently score higher on tests. iExcel is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iExcel now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off iExcel membership when they sign up today at iExcel.com/today. Visit iExcel.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite. With all that's going on in the world right now, a lot of people are asking the question of, what does the future hold for business? If you ask 9 experts, you'll get 10 answers. Bull market, bear market, rates will rise or fall, inflation's up or down. No one knows for sure. But until they do, over 41,000 businesses have future-proofed their business with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud ERP, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one fluid platform. With one unified business management suite, there's one source of truth, giving you the visibility and control that you need to make quick decisions. With real-time insights and forecasting, you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in days, not weeks, you're spending less time looking backward and more time on what's next. If I needed this product, this is exactly what I'd use. Whether your company is earning millions or even hundreds of millions, NetSuite helps you respond to immediate challenges and seize your biggest opportunities. Speaking of opportunity, download the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/blessed. The guide is free to you at netsuite.com/blessed. netsuite.com/blessed. How many of you can relate to where when you first got saved, there was this zeal, this excitement? You couldn't get enough of the text. You couldn't get enough of going to church. You couldn't get enough of telling people about the Lord and what He's doing in your life. And then as time goes on, that excitement just has worn off. You still love God. You still go to church. You still want to tell people about Him, but that enthusiasm just isn't quite there anymore. That inner conviction to be better for God every day just isn't there anymore. And you have said it to yourself, I'm just doing the best that I can, as He mentioned here in the text. We could even think the same for businesses, where at one point the Lord gave you this vision for this business, this career, this organization, this ministry. He placed people in your life to help see that vision through, You started getting excited about entrepreneurship, the freedom, the finances, the opportunities, the legacy aspect of it. And you couldn't believe that the Lord gave you something that was so unique, that was proprietary, that you could, that brought you so much fulfillment that you hadn't been able to get anywhere else. So that excitement that you can attribute to when you first got saved, I feel like you can also attribute that to when the Lord first gave you the business idea. I remember when I was, as many of you know, I got the idea for my company, Anchor Media, when I was fasting with a friend after a year and some change of the Lord having me shut my previous business down. And I remember how excited I was that day. I could remember that day as if it was this morning. I was at my father-in-law's house. My husband and I were staying with him at the time while we were looking for a home. And I was sitting on the floor in our room, just in prayer, listening to Dappy Key's instrumental on my phone. I was writing down in my notebook everything that I heard. My hands could not keep up with what the Lord was revealing to me. I was seeing all the things that He showed me bits and pieces of up until that point, finally coming together. I was so excited. I immediately called my husband and told him everything that the Lord had told me. I called my friend and told her everything that the Lord had told me. I was so excited. And then I started implementing that plan, putting together the events that the Lord was giving me. The events were selling out. Before I knew it, I was hiring a team. I was making all this money. I was making all this impact. I had all these sponsors start coming out of nowhere for the podcast, and something that felt stale for so long, the Lord, it was as if He just blew His fresh wind on it and it just caught fire. And I was so excited. But as the years have gone on, there have been seasons where what was once so miraculous to me and so new and exciting and something that brought me so much joy felt like a job. It did. And I've been open about that here and how I had to sit with the Lord to get some new plans, because I knew at some point I was just doing the best that I could, similar to the guy here in this story. And that wasn't going to be good enough to continue on with what the Lord has me to do in this life. And so I know I personally can attest to this, I'm just doing the best I can type of mentality. And I hope that you can too, because it's through our honesty and our admittance of that, that we can then really take what's being offered in this book and use it to live the wonderful, joyful, spirit-filled life. Because I'll tell you, after I experienced that, this business feeling like a job, and I sat with the Lord with my frustrations, I had a very similar experience as I did when I was sitting in my room getting the first download for the business. When I sat with the Lord and gave Him my frustrations, same thing. My hand can't move quick enough to write down what the Lord is saying. That was a moment of repentance for me, of the ways in which I had got it wrong. It was a moment of correction. And just, I received that correction with such gratitude, because the Lord has a way of correcting that is so gentle and kind that I really want to master personally as a parent as best as I can, because He has such a way to tell you what you're doing wrong in a way that doesn't make you feel small, if that makes sense. But in that moment, the Lord was, He was correcting me. He was giving me new instruction. He was saying, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to stop doing this. I need you to do more of that. And just the blueprint, again, I'm writing it down. I'm excited about it. And I can tell you that since having that experience with the Lord, that excitement hasn't wavered. I don't feel how I did at one point of, this feels like a job, I'm just doing my best. I still have that zeal and that excitement for my business, because I've learned that this Holy Spirit-filled life is something that's necessary, and it's something that I have committed to in new ways and have filled gaps that were left open by not living this way, to where now I'm able to experience the consistent fulfillment, the joy that doesn't run out, There are tough moments, absolutely, but there's a joy and a fulfillment and a wonderfulness to this life that doesn't run out when you are filled with the Spirit. Same for me personally, where living out the things that we're going to go through in this book has brought me a consistent awe of God that is not an emotional high like it was when I first got saved, an emotional high that couldn't be sustained because I didn't have anything or I wasn't utilizing anything to sustain it. But it's this consistent awe of the Lord. It's this consistent way of seeing Him at work in the big and small things in my life. There's this joy that comes from an awareness and a closeness to Him that can only be attributed to living this way. So it's not I'm doing the best I can, but it's I'm just focused on being committed to Him and I'm experiencing all of the fruit of the Spirit that are happening as a result of being filled with the Spirit. So if you can identify with him, the guy Dennis that he mentions in his book, if you can identify with me of having this zeal initially and then it just kind of fades off after a while, stick around for this series because this book is going to fill that void for you. And again, I cannot emphasize enough that I want y'all to get the physical copy of this book. So that was the introduction and prologue. Let's hop into chapter one. Part one is all about looking up, and he uses Jonah 2:2 in the beginning of this section. And it says, I called out of my distress to the Lord and he answered me. Chapter one is titled A Wonderful Spirit-Filled Life. He says, for too many believers, the Christian life boils down to simply doing the best they can. There's no power or distinction that sets them apart from the way that everyone else in the world exists. The good they do can be attributed to their own discipline, determination, and devotion to God rather than His activity in their lives. I meet believers all the time whose doctrine can be summed up into two statements. First, nobody's perfect. Second, God understands. For them, life is just one long string of joys and sorrows with the distant promise of heaven at the end. There is often a deep chasm between what Christians sing on Sunday and what they actually do on Monday through Saturday. Many are quick to argue that they should have a meaningful relationship with God and that somehow the truth they hear on Sunday should seep into their daily lives. But somehow the details of their lives are void of the Father's divine influence. That reminded me of a conversation I had with my grandmother recently where I feel like this is, we observe this today where there's a lot of like Christian activity, but not a lot of closeness to the Lord. And you can tell because you have people who proclaim to be Christian, but anxiety and fear has them in a chokehold. Like they're paralyzed by it, bound by it. When the Son, who the Son sets free is free indeed, but these Christians are still bound. There's a disconnect there where we see people who are in church and doing all the things, but they're nasty. You don't see the Lord's thumbprint on their lives. And it's reminding me of a conversation I had with my grandmother recently where we were talking about like church and she was saying how like, yeah, because I kept my kids in church. My son was in a choir. My daughters did this. They did that. Like I made sure that they were always in church every Sunday. And I didn't say this to her because, you know, sometimes with our elders, we got to just let them be. But when recounting this conversation to a friend of mine, I was telling her how that was the mindset of that generation where it was like, if I just sit them in church, maybe they'll catch something. But nobody was actually taking the time to teach them how to live a spirit-filled life. Nobody was discipling their own children. You were just sitting them in church and hoping that they heard something that was going to make them want to follow the Lord. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to build my kids' spiritual life off of hope and assumption. I want to make sure that I'm taking the time to really disciple them. I want to talk to my son about scripture. I want to talk to him about the Lord. I have to live out what I say that I believe in, because my model behavior is going to teach him better than any sermon. So I got to keep myself before the cross so that the Lord can deal with me and my own foolishness so I don't pass those things on to my children. But also, I have to have meaningful conversations and teach them things as well. Or they'll end up, like he says here, the details of your life void of the Father's divine influence. Charles Stanley goes on to say in the book, after all, people feel they have to be realistic. Life goes on. There are bills to pay and problems to overcome. Yes, they may believe God will help them, but what does that really mean? It is no wonder that their Monday through Saturday theology resembles the flawed principle Ben Franklin taught us. God helps those who help themselves. How many times have we heard that, right? To an outsider looking in, there is often little or no difference between the lifestyle, thought life, and habits of the believer and those of his non-Christian neighbor. Oh, the believer may experience a foreboding sense of what ought to be done and what should be said, but any change in him or her is usually motivated by guilt and consequently is often short-lived. Just think about it. The divorce rate for Christian adults isn't far behind that of the rest of the world. The percentage of Christian adolescents who are involved in premarital sex rivals the statistics for those kids who say they have no strong religious beliefs. Christian counseling services are increasingly in demand, and not a month goes by that a major evangelical church or organization isn't rocked by a moral scandal of some kind. Statistically and observationally, there seems to be little difference between the lifestyles of the saints and those of the sinners. Mr. Stanley is, he coming out swinging in chapter one. In his next section, he discusses his view from the pulpit. He says, this situation is a constant source of frustration and concern for me as a pastor. I'm driven by a desire to get the truth to the world. The more people who hear about Jesus, the better. Nothing thrills my heart like watching men and women grasp the goodness and grace of God. And nothing motivates me like seeing others integrate the principles of his word into their lives. On the other hand, nothing is more frustrating than knowing that people are listening week after week, oftentimes writing it all down, but doing nothing with what they have just heard. They are not enjoying the freedom that the Lord created them to experience. Evangelical America tends to be note rich and application poor. As a result, there is little difference between many of us and our lost neighbors. The real tragedy is that we have lost our ability to function in our society the way that God originally intended. We are left here to be a light to our world. People should be able to look at us and know that there is something different about us, not our clothes or our hairstyles, us. They will know our Savior is real by what they observe flowing from our hearts. There should be something different in the way that we do business. There should be a clear distinction in the way that we raise our children. Christian marriages should be testimonies of the love of Jesus. Those who are outside the church should be enamored by the unity and love that they see among believers. Unfortunately, that is rarely the case. Consequently, our society has a warped perspective on the person and work of Christ. We cannot expect non-believers to embrace a Savior they know nothing of. We certainly cannot expect them to surrender to a Lord whose servants do not reflect his love and character. I mean, he ain't stopped swinging yet. This episode is brought to you by Revolve.com. Many of us do a lot of our shopping online, and sometimes shopping online can be a bit overwhelming, but I really love the experience with Revolve.com. I love specifically how once I find something that's my style, it recommends similar items. So it's almost as if I'm curating this shopping experience that's specific to what I like and what fits my body the best. They also have some amazing curated edits. So if you're looking for something specific, let's say a date night, special event, vacation, they have these curated collections for you that fit exactly what you're looking for. Revolve.com has over 1,200 brands and 100,000 styles across high-end, emerging, and exclusive labels in fashion, beauty, and home goods. With new arrivals daily, we always have something new to choose from. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast two-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code blessed. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code blessed. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. This episode is brought to you by Effecty. Let's be real. Losing weight isn't just about willpower. It's about having the right tools and support. That's why I want to tell you about Effecty. With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications help regulate appetite and blood sugar, making weight loss sustainable and backed by science. Getting started is simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth visit. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No waiting rooms, no hassle. One of the things I really appreciate about Effecty is their transparent pricing. There's no hidden fees, no membership required, and you could cancel at any time. You know exactly what you're paying for up front, period. And they don't leave you on your own. Effecty provides hands-on support with a dedicated team and licensed providers available to guide you through your weight loss journey step by step. Whether you're in a big city or a small town, Effecty makes this process accessible, personalized, and safe. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code BLESSED at checkout. That is Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use code BLESSED to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. He says, how can we convince others of the joy and peace his salvation brings if we ourselves aren't experiencing any of his gladness or tranquility? As ambassadors for Christ, we have the responsibility in living in such a way that others see Jesus in us. As the body of Christ, we are his hands and his feet. We are his mouthpieces. We are the only Jesus that most people will ever know. That being the case, it is no wonder that so many non-Christians want nothing to do with the Savior or his church. They know too many of his followers. Whew. We just going to kind of let that sink for a second. Matter of fact, let me read that one more time. That being the case, It is no wonder that so many non-Christians want nothing to do with the Savior or His church. They know too many of His followers. My. Pastor Charles. I had to say his name like that. Man, he didn't come to play, but it's so true. I was having a conversation with my husband the other day. We went on this little staycation about an hour and a half away from us. We just wanted to get away, reset, get some rest, get some peace and quiet away from these loud kids. And we were driving and talking. And one of the things that I can't even remember what we were talking about, but he had brought up how for a lot of his Christian life, he would use, and a lot of us do this, it was almost as if he would use the word of God as a way to avoid his true emotions. And a lot of people do this. I feel like it is a byproduct of the prosperity gospel false teaching, where it's almost as if, let's say, I'm going to use a silly example, but let's say you break your toe. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I broke my toe hurts, I feel sad about my toe being broken, this toxic faith will say, don't say that, your toe's not broken, it's healed. In Jesus' name, by His stripes, it is healed. Don't speak that into existence. But baby, look at this x-ray. The toe is disconnected. So yes, I am healed. But right now, this toe is broken. It is okay for me to acknowledge that it hurts, that it is broken currently, while also knowing that it will be healed, that God is still with me. He will help me carry this pain and the discomfort and the inconvenience of having a broken toe. Those things are also true. Avoiding how I really feel about a situation does not make me more faithful. It makes me delusional. And so many people do that, and it keeps us from living separately from the world, because a non-believer should be able to look at you and see like, man, you're going through these circumstances where you're experiencing health challenges, you're experiencing financial ruin, you're experiencing all of these different things, but you still have joy. You still have a smile on your face. You barely got anything yourself, and you're still giving. You're still kind. You have every reason to be angry and bitter, but you're not. You have peace. Where did that come from? I want to live like that. That is what people observe or should be observing from us as believers. So then they can come and know the Jesus that we claim that we know. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. And so we were having this conversation. I was telling him the same thing, like so many people do this. And what I found earlier in my walk personally was, look, if I am going to live this life and I'm going to give my life to the Lord and I'm going to serve Him for all of my days, it has to be real. It has to. It can't be fake. It can't be one-sided. It can't be me acting like I don't feel how I feel and having this toxic faith. It has to be vulnerable. It has to be raw. It has to be honest. If I'm going to go to the Lord, I want to go to the Lord with how I really feel. I want to talk to the Lord how I would talk to anybody else. I want to be honest and raw about my emotions when I'm disappointed, when I'm angry, where I feel like God isn't listening to me, when I feel like I'm unseen, when I feel like I've been neglected, all of these things that a lot of us shun away from being honest about with the Lord. I'm like, God, if I'm going to do this, I want to give You all of me. And that includes my emotions. And what I found in my journey is that that is the most freeing relationship. This is the most freeing, empowering, honest, pure relationship that I've ever had, my relationship with the Lord. Because I can go to God and say, God, I am hurting. I feel like You abandoned me, and that hurts. And the Lord doesn't respond by slamming this imaginary door in my face and saying, oh, that's disrespectful, get away from me. The Lord is right there to love me back whole, to say, I understand that you may feel that way, but here is the truth. Let me heal that wound. Let me show you what I'm doing. Let me comfort you in this moment so that you can understand that I'm still here. And I believe that this is a level this book will bridge a level of intimacy with the Lord in our faith, in our relationship with God, which will then breed and bring in a level of freedom that I feel like too many Christians do not experience. And as we see here, it's costing us souls. Because again, like he said, we don't look too different than anybody else. I have highlighted here, he says, if the Christian life were simply a matter of doing our best, there would be no need for God to send the Holy Spirit to help us. After all, our best is our best. How do we improve on that? Since God is omniscient, as we certainly believe he is, he knows when we have done all that we can do. Why complicate matters? Jesus told us, however, that God was looking for more than our best. He was looking for a lifestyle and an attitude that superseded what we could do and one that we could never attain through our own efforts. And so he said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's in John 16:7. The author says, think about this. If we don't need any help, why send a helper? The promise of the Holy Spirit presupposes that we require assistance. Telling us about his provision was Jesus' way of tipping us all to one of the most profound truths concerning the Christian life. It's impossible. The quality of life Jesus expects from his followers is unattainable apart from outside intervention. That's why that toxic faith is so problematic, because instead of it drawing you closer to the Lord so that he can carry you through a circumstance, it puts you into self-reliance mode where you start going to personal development, therapy, books, research, your things in your own strength to be able to improve upon your situation, and you just sprinkle a little faith on it. No, that's not how this works. Because our best, as he said here, our best is our best, but our best is never going to be good enough. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. If we could do it on our own with the resources that are here on this earth and not the supernatural resource that lives on the inside of us, then what will we need him for? So the fact that there is a Holy Spirit means that we need the Holy Spirit. And for as long as we're doing our best, just showing up and not being led by, filled with the Spirit, we are not living the way that the Lord intended us to. At the end of the chapters, he has this section called Think About It with a few bullet points that are relevant to what was discussed in the text. So here on the Think About It section, he says, is there a vast difference between what you experienced as a new believer and what you're experiencing now? Do you know Christians who just seem to have something or know something that you don't? What makes you different from friends who aren't believers? Peace, joy, and love? How do you spend your Sunday mornings? What can you attribute to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life today? If someone asked you, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What would you say? Does the answer come easily? I think these are great questions and something that we should think about as we close out this first chapter. I'll put these questions in the show notes as well so that you guys could journal about them and really think about them and have them written down somewhere. I, again, cannot suggest enough to get this book. There's so much that I didn't go over for the sake of time, but we did cover the gist of it. Again, the title of the book is The Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley. I pray that you guys have enjoyed this introduction to it. And I'm looking forward to continuing this book with you. I reread the all the intro stuff in the first chapter over the weekend, and I wanted to continue on so bad. But I didn't want to get ahead of myself, so I'm trying to keep in pace with the podcast. But man, this one right here will just jack you up in the best way, as you can see. But thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.